Ready? Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your heart to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Struggling in the fight, for his perfect love will never change and his mercies never cease, but follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Let's sing. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice. Oh, Church of Christ, rejoice. Oh, Church of Christ, rejoice. Oh, Church of Christ, rejoice. Good evening, church. Welcome to our all-age service. Tonight is a discussion service, which I know has been scary in the past, but today we'll be discussing what it means to be a multi-generational church and just some of the things that we can do to be a better multi-generational church. What would benefit you? What would benefit other age groups? I think I will start the service with this. We'll just welcome each other. It'll be a little bit less chaotic than when I did it in the morning service. Find someone who's not in your generation and just say hi. If you don't know their name, find out their name. If the youth need to come down off the stage and go say hi to somebody, please do. Thank you. Brilliant. A lot calmer than when I did it in the morning. I really enjoyed that. We're going to sing a few songs that I've picked out that are all about sort of us as a church, us as a group of people that come together as God's church. And some of them really do hone in on that that idea of us being multi-generational. But first, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the people that we have here today. Thank you for the people that we have here in this church, the members of the church, the people who aren't members, but who come regularly to services. We just, we're so aware of the people that you've brought to just share in your love with us, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, as we talk about this church and how we can be, focused on you more, how we can be more for more people, we pray that you bless this service. Pray that you open our hearts and open our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first song is Build Your Kingdom Here. At the end of each verse, it says, we are your church, and then it says something different. The first one, we need your power in us, really calling on God in that way. We pray, revive this earth. I think that's, beautiful and amazing. We need that. And in the last verse, we are the hope on earth. We as the church, we pray that God builds his kingdom here. Let's sing this song. We've opened up the front of the church a little bit. If anybody does want to have a bit of a boogie, some of our songs have actions. If you would like to take this space up and do the actions, show other people the actions even, that would be awesome. But for this song, if you would just like to have a dance, the space is free for you to come up and do that. Let's stand and sing.
I'm changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We
The second song that we'll be singing, These Are the Days of Elijah. Purely just a joyous song in the middle section, which we'll be doing today. It just says, there's no God like Jehovah, over and over and over. And I think it's such a great way to just lift praises. You don't need to say too many words. You just need to glorify the Lord. We'll be looking at some old Testament characters in a little bit. So that's the only reason I chose the song. But please sing with us. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, parting on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your world. Still we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Let's sing, there's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Behold, he comes.
Hallelujah. Please take your seats and find voice today. Very well done. We're going to watch a short video now, which will be talking about one of the two pairs of characters that we're talking about today. This first one's about Ruth and Naomi.
This is the story of a woman named Naomi. Well, actually, it's the story of two women, Naomi and Ruth. Right, two women. A lot of bad things happened to them, but hey, a lot of good things happened to them too. Naomi lived in Bethlehem with her husband and two sons, the same town where Jesus would be born many, many, many years later. Unfortunately, there was a famine in Bethlehem, so Naomi and her husband and their sons moved to a place called Moab. Fortunately, in Moab, Naomi's sons met and married their wives, Ruth and Orpah. Yep, so that's Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Unfortunately, it wasn't long before Naomi's husband and two sons died. Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah were widows. Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem. Orpah stayed in Moab, but fortunately, Ruth wasn't willing to let Naomi go back to Bethlehem alone. They went together. Then, Ruth said one of the most famous lines of scripture in the Bible, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So Naomi and Ruth set out for Bethlehem. Fortunately, the famine that had once destroyed Israel was over. Things were growing again. In fact, fortunately, when the two returned to Israel, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Ruth ended up in the field with a man named Boaz.
Come on.
Good job. Fortunately, Boaz was a really good man. The Bible calls him a man of noble character. He was very generous and told his workers to leave extra grain for Ruth to glean. When Ruth told Naomi about the generous farmer named Boaz, Naomi knew it was great news. Because, most fortunately, Naomi knew that Boaz was their relative. This meant he could step in and protect them and redeem their family. He listened to Ruth. He listened as she asked him to redeem Naomi's family and marry her. Boaz was impressed with Ruth. He even called her a woman of noble character. Fortunately, Boaz wanted to marry Ruth. Fortunately, he did. Fortunately, this marriage would redeem Naomi's entire family. Fortunately, their family would grow and grow and grow.
Pair of characters that we'll be looking at are Elijah and Elisha. I'll try and say them that way round every time, but please forgive me if I don't. And I'm just going to read a little bit from 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And this happened two other times. Elijah told Elisha to stay where he was. And Elisha said, "No, I will follow you." That same thing that we saw in Ruth, where she said, "Wherever you go, I will go." And then in, I'll bring that up a little bit later. But we see this pattern of people wanting to follow and follow and follow. And we're going to look a little bit into why a little bit later. We're going to get a reading of Ephesians 2, chapter 17, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 to 22 from Manuel. And hopefully that will help tie things in a bit together as well.
He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
I love that picture of the church rising up in unison together as God builds us. We're going to sing a song that really speaks on that. All the people said amen. Please stand and sing with us. So these two stories that we've just heard, Ruth and Naomi, and the story of Elijah and Elisha, this idea of following and seeking, I do want to sort of pull a lesson for the youth, but also a lesson for other members of the church, other members of the congregation. I think it's not enough to have a multi-generational church. I think it's great that we have a multi-generational church. I think it's great to celebrate that. But I think it's not enough to just have a multi-generational church. I think there's something about nurturing other generations, something about understanding other generations, and really knowing each other. I think that's something really important. We can celebrate and we can acknowledge that we have these generations, but if they're distant, if they're far away, there's a problem there. And so in these two stories, this story of Ruth and Naomi, we have... we have two roles in each of the groups. there's a group of, you would maybe say, the elders to teach, and maybe for the youth to be eager and to learn. You can see this in Ruth, where she's saying, "Wherever you go, I will go." She sees something in this God of Israel, and she says, "I want some of that. I will go wherever you go, wherever, whatever God you worship, I will worship," because she knows that this God is really something. And the same for Elijah and Elisha. He can tell that there's something in Elisha that has God in it, and that as surely as the Lord lives, I will, and you live, I will not leave you. And in the end of that, of this sort of passage, when Elijah is going up to heaven, I did try. When Elijah's going up to heaven, he asks Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away from you." And Elisha says, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Now, Elijah, just in case we need a bit of background, he's the guy who called down fire on a mountain from God. He on a wet altar where there was no nobody else believed that this thing could happen, and Elijah made it happen. God made it happen. And so Elisha is asking for double of what Elijah has. That's not only asking for real power, but really yearning to have what somebody else has, learning to know what somebody else has. You can see that in the youth, to really want to learn from their mentors. And then for the elders also, to teach in Proverbs. Let me find it. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." I think that's such a beautiful verse, in that if you start a child off in the right way, if you point them in the right direction, they'll keep running in that same direction. They'll know where they're going. And also in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning." Continues in verse 10, saying, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." It always reminds me of that passage, and it always reminds me of David's son Solomon, who asks for wisdom. And that is the greatest gift that we could have, knowing that all we have is in God. But also, I'd like to point out that there are some things that other people can learn from the youth as well. In 1 Timothy, In 1 Timothy it says, "Do not let other people look down on you because you are young." Which really, when I was part of the youth, it always encouraged me, because God gives gifts to everybody. It's not once you reach a certain age that you are gifted, that you are given something by God. It is at any stage, at any age, God gives you gifts. And so, I'd just like to tie it all together, saying that appreciate the gifts that we're all given, but also acknowledging that we need to get to know each other, we need to get to know other age groups, other ages of people, because there could be anything from anyone. Your gift, or your the thing that you're looking for, the thing that you need encouragement for, whatever it is, might come from one of the children in Ignite. It might come from somebody who's been in the church for 20, 30 years. It could be anyone. And it is important to know these different groups of people, not just to get something out of them, but to build us stronger as a church. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I think it's really important that we keep on at each other, we keep talking to each other, and so I hope that encourages us in our discussion now. where we're talking about how we can be a better multi-generational church, how we can, how we can encourage each other more, how we can meet each other more, how we can be closer to each other. We're going to sing one more song before we have that discussion. Big Family of God. And this one does have actions. If you do know the actions, I'd really appreciate you doing them. I can't play guitar and do actions. I've tried, it doesn't work. Yes. Please stand and sing with us.
Some of us are big and tall, some of us are very small, some of us like pink and some like blue. Some of us like reading books, some of us like feeding ducks. That's because we're different, me and you. But God loves everyone he's made. God loves each of us in a special way. That's you and you and you and you.
Now comes the fun part. If we could get into different groups, we'll be talking about this question on the screen. How can we be a better multi-generational church? And that can be in terms of activities or in terms of just little things that you individually can do. And I think if we can, if we can get a mixture of generations in each group, I think that'll encourage a bit more of a conducive discussion. Feel free to turn chairs around. We'll get it all sorted out after. Youth, come on, get down. Got to. With ideas. If you have any ideas of how the church as a whole or as you as individuals can become a better multi-generational church, I'll come down, it's alright. If we could add some to the board, that would be really great. Pink ones, we'll come back together and we'll pray, and then we'll sing our final song. Just sing on the board.
No,
oh, empty ones, thank you. Brilliant. I'll just pray for us now. God, we thank you for the discussions that we've had. We thank you for the people that we've talked to, maybe for the first time. Lord, we just pray for each person in this congregation, every person that's here. We pray that they've got something new from this discussion. We pray that they're constructive and that we really have learnt to how we might make some changes, maybe in our lives personally or maybe as a church, to be more inclusive of other generations, to be more more together, more unified. Amen. Our last song today. It really speaks to that. It speaks to some of the ways that we can be more unified. It says, they will know we are Christians by our love, if the youth band can come back. And it says, we are one in the Spirit, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored. It says, we'll walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And we will work with each other, we will work side by side. And then in the last verse, it is just a praise, just celebration. Praise to the Father, praise to Christ Jesus, and praise to the Spirit. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Let's sing together.
We are one with the Lord. We are one.
praise the Father, praise the Son. Dear God, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and not give up meeting together, but encourage one another, all the more as we see the day coming. Lord, we just pray that you put in our hearts the right way to interact generationally, the people to talk to, the individuals that we may not have spoken to before and maybe a bit daunting to reach out to, but that we will just have the heart, have the openness, have the willingness to follow your footsteps where they lead us. And as we go out into the week, Lord, just bless us, strengthen us, and lead us to where we need to be. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us. Please come and join us in the lounge for tea and coffee. gifted us so well.